Africa is currently seeking caring individuals for assistance in teaching reading skills. Literacy volunteers are trained to teach basic reading to adults on a one-to-one basis in their local libraries. A training workshop will be held at the Wyandanch Public Library, 14 South 20th Street, on Saturday mornings beginning October 20th. For further information, call the Literacy Volunteers of America at 286-1600. That's 286-1600. Remember, to volunteer against illiteracy, the only degree you need is caring. The current WUSB Stony Brook temperature, 67 degrees.
Stardate September 15th. Like light bulbs, stars come in different wattages or intrinsic brightnesses. Light bulbs range from powerful beacons using tens of thousands of watts down to tiny bulbs for dial lights, which use only a thousandth of a watt. Stars have an even greater range. Some stars radiate nearly a million times more light than the sun. Others radiate over a million times less than the sun. Contrary to what you might think from just looking at the sky, there are far more of the truly dim stars than there are really bright stars in the galaxy. The superstars only seem to dominate the galaxy because we can see them over vast distances, just the same way an airline pilot can pick up an airport beacon light long before he can see individual house or street lights. We can prove that there are more faint stars than bright ones in the galaxy by looking at just the 40 closest known stars. Only 3 radiate more light than the sun, while 20 are at least 1,000 times fainter. Consider also these two stars, the blue giant star Rigel in the constellation Orion, and Wolf 359 in the constellation Leo. Rigel shines with a light of more than 60,000 suns. As seen by our eyes, it's one of the brightest stars in the night sky. Wolf 359 is near the other end of the scale. It's a red dwarf star. This tiny body puts out 3 billion times less light than the powerful Rigel. So even though it's 100 times closer to us than Rigel, it's completely invisible to the naked eye. Stardate and Stardate Magazine are produced by the McDonald Observatory at the University of Texas at Austin. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Is underwritten by a grant from the Little Computer Shop, located in the Model Shopping Mall in Centereach. Phone number 467-4352. The Little Computer Shop stocks the latest in hardware, software, and computer publications.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
September 1901, Theodore Roosevelt became President of the United States. 42 years old, a hero of the recent Spanish-American War, Roosevelt was as rough riding in politics as he had been in battle, and the era that he ushered in was active and vigorous. Lincoln Steffens, a journalist who went to Washington to take the measure of the new president, filed an enthusiastic report.
The gift of the gods to Theodore Roosevelt was joy in hunting, camping, and ranching, in politics, in reforming the police of the civil service, in organizing and commanding the Rough Riders. But the greatest joy was the assassination of McKinley had affected him, true, but in a romantic way. He described what he would do if an assassin attacked him. He looked about him. In the shadows of the trees we were passing on, he looked with a ghastly power that might pounce upon him. And it seemed to me he hoped the would-be murderer would appear then and there, say at the next dark corner, as he, the president, would do to him with his fists, with his feet, with those big, clean teeth.
Steffens admired Roosevelt, but like many other progressives, he was also impatient for the new president to take action against corruption in business and politics. A fervent group of writers, christened muckrakers by Roosevelt, kept the issue of corruption in the news. In his book, The Shame of the Cities, Steffens, who prided himself on being a muckraker, attacked immorality in politics and business.
The businessman has failed in politics as he has in citizenship. Why? Because politics is business. That's what's the matter with it. That's what's the matter with everything. Art, literature, religion, journalism, law, medicine, they're all business. The condemned methods of our despised politics are the master methods of our braggartry that shocks us in public affairs. We practice ourselves in our private concerns. There is no essential difference between a pull that gets your wife into society or for your book a favorable review and that which gets a healer into office, a thief out of jail, and a rich man's son on the board of directors of a corporation. None between the corruption of a labor union, a bank, and a political machine. The boss is not political. He is an American institution, the product of a free people that have not the spirit to be free.
Another Ray Stannard Baker, taking aim against a form of bribery widely practiced by the railroads in his time, Baker wrote,
"What is a rebate? Strictly speaking, rebate is a sum of money secretly paid back by a railroad company to a famous ship as a refund upon his freight. And in this narrow sense, rebating is undoubtedly much less common than formerly. But the people who are unaccustomed to making close decisions, to whom stealing is still plain stealing, use the word rebate in a much wider sense. It means any sort of favoritism to one shipper that is not given to all shippers. We find the same distinction in politics. Bribery, in the narrow sense, the ugly crude payment of cash, may be disappearing from politics. But bribery, in the wider sense, meaning any reward for corrupt political services, still flourishes like the proverbial Green Bay tree."
In those early years of the century, an event occurred which would profoundly affect the future. On December 17, 1903, at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, two brothers, Orville and Wilbur Wright, first succeeded in achieving sustained flight in a man-carrying, engine-powered, heavier-than-air machine. That day, Orville Wright noted in his diary,
"When we got up, a wind of between 20 and 25 miles was blowing from the north. After running the engine and propellers a few minutes to get them in working order, I got on the machine at 10:35 for the first trial. The wind at this time was blowing a little over 27 miles. The machine started off increasing in speed to probably 7 or 8 miles. I found the control of the front rudder quite difficult on account of its being balanced too near the center. As a result, the machine would rise suddenly to about 10 feet and then, as suddenly, on turning the rudder, dart for the ground. A sudden dart went out about 100 feet from the end of the tracks, ended the flight. Time about 12 seconds.
On this side, we have some widely contrasting examples taken from recent recordings to give you some idea of the wealth of recorded music now available on the wider tapestry of stereophonic sound. The excitement and brilliant color of modern orchestral writing spring into startling reality in Rimsky-Korsakov's Capriccio Espagnol. Incomparable voice of Kirsten Flaxstart. She was singing O Divine Redeemer by Gounod, and she was accompanied by the London Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Sir Adrian Vogt.
Get off the air. Come on, come on.
Contrast,
get this bozo out of here.
And the pop singer.
Jim, this is one of your friends. How did he get in here?
It's a different way. This has its own...
Jim, get him out of here.
Yes.
I don't like these cultured voices on the air here.
I'm sorry. Sir. Excuse me, sir.
Sir, will you
sir?
Shut up?
Sir.
Get out of here.
Sir, no. It's nothing personal, sir. But...
Hey, turn on another record. Can you believe this? Jim...
Gee.
I've told you about having your friends up here before.
Okay, folks, no. Listen.
Not one of them out here singing. Keep it down over there, okay? People are starting... Oh. Jim.
Listen, this is very
nice. I want to talk to you. I'm going to turn the microphone off. I want to talk to you in the hallway.
Okay, no problem.
There's an ample number of apple trees. 7 million fish in the seven seas. Lots of apple trees, more than seven seas. But there's only one of you. So tell me that you always care. And tell me.
That'd be a lesson.
Hey, Eric.
You know, I wasn't too rough on him, was I?
No.
I think it had to be done.
Eric, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you're aware of the backward masking on that record, aren't you?
Well, I don't even want to think of the possibility.
Well, you know that there's a message that encourages people to use the wrong fork at dinner.
Oh, no.
Oh,
on
yes.
Our air, well, we shouldn't be talking about it over the air, should we? It's, well, it's after 10, fortunately, but it's not after 11, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Bewitching hour.
Yeah.
Well, hi, Jim, how are you?
Is Elizabeth Montgomery going to be on tonight? Or
I don't know. You know, I haven't seen a new program schedule.
Oh,
it's quite possible. It's quite possible. How have you been?
Okay, how are you?
I've been
good
just fine. I feel the same, and everything. Well, you weren't here last week now, were you?
No,
I was. Talking about my car getting broken into.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm
fun.
Sorry.
Yeah. It seems to be the latest sport in New York is breaking into my car, yeah.
It was in New York City that it happened?
It was in New York City. It happened three times in a row, but the third time they finally got my radio and broke the lock in the process. And I was really, really upset last week at this time. But I'm a lot happier this week. And I was wondering, maybe you might speculate as to why that might be.
Because this time somebody broke into your radio and stole your car.
No, that's not right. But then again, I don't expect you to get it on the first guess, Jim.
Okay, I'll try the second guess.
Go ahead.
Because the station has promised you that no longer will you have to follow me every few Saturdays, and thus losing your entire audience.
Well, now you're just making me feel worse. No, that wasn't it either. Why don't you try it again?
I guess that's not it either. I guess,
is this Jim's theme or something?
No.
Why is this music suddenly here?
Well, I don't know.
Full stereo sound, I might add.
Well, yes, indeed. Indeed, full stereophonic sound. Actually, this has historical relevance to broadcasting, you know.
And what might that be?
Well, I guess we can let it play a little bit just to set the mood.
It was ahead of its time, wasn't it?
Very much so. Eric Corley scratches Irving Berlin.
He said he was itchy.
Okay, well, you could take it out now because that's where it used to go out.
Okay.
But you could leave it on if you want.
I guess I wasn't supposed to do that.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Oh, sorry. But so this has historical relevance
to WUSB.
How so?
Well, that piece of music, that's Heat Wave by Irving Berlin.
It's one of the stereophonic records that we have here, the Journey into Stereo Sound and all these little test records that we have.
Yeah, you know, I never knew who did that. I see that that's by Enoch Light and his orchestra. And what I can tell you is that back in 1969, when WUSB did not exist as a station that broadcast beyond the Stony Brook campus, it was what's known as a carrier current radio station. It broadcast on the frequency of 820 kilohertz and was heard in various buildings around campus, very low-power broadcasting, essentially through wiring. Through transmitters that were connected to wiring that went from the studio.
Are you putting yourself to sleep there?
It
sounds like you're getting less and less into the story as you go along.
Well, I'm just explaining.
It's an exciting thing. I mean, we used to risk our lives climbing the two-story dormitories to put the antenna up there.
Sort of risking our lives.
Well, sort of risking our lives, mostly because people would throw things at us as we were doing it. But that was an evil generation of college students, folks. They're not like that anymore.
No.
College students today want to hear diversity. They want to hear different things on the radio. And they recognize the importance of this place.
Well, they wanted to hear it back then also and recognize the
They don't
the
really
importance.
Have a choice in the matter because, you know, we're the only radio station they can get.
But no, they wanted to hear diversity over 20 years ago. It's just they also like to throw things. But
they did, didn't they?
Yes. Well, no.
Well, I don't think there's any reason covering up any longer, Jim. I mean, it was a violent decade.
Well,
whatever decade it was.
Well, I don't know if it was once give it a blanket categorization or characterization as a violent decade.
Well, physically sarcastic, how's that?
It was a physically sarcastic decade?
Yeah, it's a nice way of saying violent.
How can somebody be physically sarcastic?
Well, you mulled that one over for a while.
Well, I guess you could be.
Go back into this... I took the needle off the turntable, so I can't go back into it.
Well,
but anyway, as I was telling you, first of all, the program is Brain Damage. In case you haven't figured that out by now, I'm Eric Corley along with Jim Weiner, who floats in here every 3 weeks or so. Something happens in the other 2 weeks.
But can I interrupt?
Considering I haven't really said anything yet. Go ahead.
Well, not that it's really important, but I never actually got to the point of the broadcast history.
That's true, you didn't. Our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516. Come to think of it, Jim, as long as we're saying things that we never got to my story either, which I started before your story.
You're
started.
Right. So you go ahead.
Well, I don't want to anymore. It's not interesting. It's I have to start over again for all the new listeners. Don't you know listeners tune in every 5 minutes? So people have no idea what we were talking about 5 minutes ago, so there's no point in me starting up a story. It's not like a cocktail party, Jim.
No.
No. This
You're
is
certainly
radio.
Drunk.
People
so I, are, mean, I don't know
people
why.
People are driving down streets and they get to where they're going. You think they stay in the car and listen to us? No, they turn us off and they do whatever they have to do. Or they just get into their cars and they've turned us on. So you can't carry a flow of conversation on over a half hour or 45 minutes. You have to constantly be restarting and rethinking.
Well, okay, then I guess I can say stay tuned for Eric Corley and Brain Damage. We can start the whole thing over again.
No, I don't want to do that either. I want to take some phone calls is what I want to do, and I want to see the phones light up, 632-6901. All right, tell us the historical significance of that musical piece, which I'll put on again.
Okie doke. Well, you see.
There it is.
Yep.
We're having a heat wave.
A tropical heat wave.
I know that song. But you want to turn it down while you talk?
May as well.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, anyway, thanks.
No problem.
This song, or part of it, the beginning part of it, used to be used, this particular recording, used to be used as a background to a promotional announcement.
Sorry about that.
No, that's quite all right.
I hit the wrong button.
That's okay. That kind of adds a... lends an air of spontaneity to the proceedings.
Right, air of incompetence, actually.
Well, of spontaneous incompetence.
632-6901.
It was used as a background. It may have even been used as the theme to a... it was used possibly as a theme, but definitely, as I remember, as the background for a promotional announcement about a feature that was... it never went on for this long that I remember, but it was used certainly
we
as...
We can solve that. There, it's gone.
Gone.
What
I'm
was the feature? What
myself.
Was the
I'm
feature?
Sorry.
I mean...
It's no big deal, actually.
I
really dug myself into a hole because this is going to be anticlimactic.
Don't you remember what the feature was? Because if you don't, you're going right out of here.
I do remember.
Well, what was the feature?
It was called Campus Beat.
I remember Campus Beat.
You do? Really?
Maybe somebody else came up with the brilliant idea of calling a show Campus Beat. Hey, that sounds cool.
Possibly, but there was a person.
We used to have a show called Stony Briefs. I'm not kidding. That's what
yes,
we called Stony
I remember.
You remember
I think BVD sponsored or underwrote it anyway, didn't they? No.
We've had some great. We've had Sunny Side Up. Is that still on?
Yeah, I don't know if it's still on, but we've had some clever little names. For some features here, but one of them was known as Campus Beat. When this was an on-campus radio station only, and in 1969 there used to be this feature, 1969, 1970, and a very very nice person that used to work here used to do what I guess would be analogous to what is currently the campus bulletin board.
Uh-huh.
And
except it was longer than a couple of minutes, wasn't it?
It was no, just a few minutes, and this was used possibly as a theme, but definitely as a background to a promotion announcing this particular feature.
You see, we'd never use that kind of music these days. We'd use house music or something.
Yeah, but
with a beat,
Yeah, which is fine. I'm just saying that I'm not even passing judgment one way or the other on the kind of music, but just that it just was funny that I saw this record and. It suddenly dawned on me that, my gosh,
well,
this might be the very
story.
Thing.
It certainly has brought me down memory lane, which is a one-way street, I might add. But, irregardless, let's focus on the today, the here and now. That which is around us and inside us. I sound like a spiritual leader. Well, yes, a spiritual leader is coming to campus. I guess he's sort of emanating onto me right now, but the Dalai Lama is going to be here on Monday. Is that something else?
Yes, I think it's quite fascinating.
Why? Well, we'll get into that a little bit later on, but that is something. That's quite a revelation. But no, I'm happy because I got my insurance check already.
Congratulations.
Now, nobody knows what I'm talking about, but if you were tuning in 15 minutes ago, as you should have been, you would know what I was talking about. And that's all. Yeah, I went to my insurance company to report that my car had been broken into, and they looked it over, and they gave me a check right there on the spot. It's not supposed to be like that, is it? It's not supposed to be that easy. You're supposed to get some grief, some hassle. I didn't get any of that. I've been deprived of the misery everyone else talks about, so yet again, I won't have anything to talk about when people, you know, talk about this kind of thing.
Well, you want me to call the insurance company and ask them to put a stop on the check?
I already did that, but
okay.
They don't know how to stop things like that. They just know how to be cooperative. Biggest pain I've ever had in my life.
Gee.
So, yeah, now I've got this insurance check, which, believe it or not, I think is going to cover everything. I mean, either that or it's a lot more expensive than I thought it was going to be to fix a lock on a door. I seem to be back at least to where I started, except my car is still broken and my radio's gone, but, at least I have a way of getting it back now. As Jim turns his microphone off for some unbeknownst reason. Why did you
have
the microphone?
Sorry, actually, I just wanted to... I figured maybe you'd be talking for a while, so...
Oh, you thought I was going to just not stop, huh?
No, I didn't mean that as an insult.
No, it's okay, Jim. It's okay. 632-6901. Jim's only in here once every 3 weeks, and you can see why we can't possibly do two shows in a row together, because, things are expensive around here, and it would cost money to fix some of the objects would be hurled about. Okay, I want to talk about various things tonight. I want to talk about the New York Post. The New York Post might not be around after next week. Jim, have you thought about that?
Yes.
Have you thought about what it might be like not to have the New York Post? I mean, I've got it right here. This is the New York Post. Today's New York Post. You know what the headline is? It ain't over yet. Post is alive. Pending union vote Monday. I mean, when a newspaper has to have the front page devoted to its own troubles, that's pathetic. And what would we be without the pathetic Post?
On the radio,
hang on, we got a caller who's come in person to give us a call. Hold on, there's a microphone. Speak.
Yeah, they announced last night on the radio what today's headlines would be on the New York Post.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. It was on WCBS.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty strange.
Well, Jim.
Yes.
What do you think is going to happen to the Post? Do you think we can save it?
Can we save it? You mean and myself and the listener?
And the listeners. I mean, look. It may sound kind of crazy, right? But we're a bunch of headstrong individuals, right? Our listeners are a bunch of insane individuals, I suppose. If we all put our heads together, not too hard, but if we just put our heads together and maybe say, yeah, you know, I'll kick in $10, I'll kick in $20, you know, let's see what we can raise by midnight, and who knows, maybe we'll have enough to go in there and take the Post out of the hands of this evil person that wants to shut it down and run it ourselves.
Well, it's an interesting idea, Eric, but...
I've got a 20 on me, okay?
I don't know if you want to characterize him as evil.
I'm willing to start this thing off at $20.
Might have to... can you make a... I don't know if you want to make a blanket judgment like that.
How much is in that wallet of yours, Jim? I can reach right over and find out. It's closer to me than
not
to you.
Too much. I don't know if I could save the Post with what's in there. I kind of tend to doubt it.
No, but you see, we all have to do it together. We all have to, you know, pitch in a little bit. That's how this country was built. Don't you know that, Jim?
Yeah,
but
what is it? How much do they need? $19 million?
No, you don't think about how much they need. You think about how much you can put in. How much you can put in to help out, you know?
But, I mean, as a practical matter...
Look, I've already put $20 in, okay? Now, you're going to look pretty foolish if you put anything less than me in.
Mm.
You agree? Okay. $20 for Jim. We're up to 40.
Okay.
Now it's up to our listeners. You know, we've got $40 for the New York Post. Let's get, you know, what do they need?
Listen, I'll tell you something. The way things are going, there might be the newsstand price next week.
It might be. It might be. But we're going to have to move fast because I understand Monday is the deadline. Okay. We lost all our calls, so call back, folks. 632-6901.
Nope, you got one back. Yeah.
One came back? Okay.
Yeah.
How'd he get over there? That's weird.
Well, others might have been calling, and then they dropped out, probably.
Okay, well, everybody else, come back, 632-6901, and make sure you come back soon, because at 11 o'clock, all the phone lines get busy at once, because everybody tries to call the campus at once, so you got to be real careful there. Let's see who we have.
Why did everybody try to call the campus at once?
I don't know. Anyone there?
Hey, Eric, what's up?
Not much. How are you?
Congratulations on the check for your car.
It was really fun, you know, to go through the motions and finish through this whole thing, you know.
Oh, really?
This whole ugly saga.
Eric, I wanted to ask you, what's happening with the New York Post? Like, what's causing it?
Well, apparently the owner wants the unions to give some concessions, like 48% wage cuts, things like that. The unions are, I guess, balking is the word, at those kind of cuts. And he said, you know, if I don't get those kind of cuts,
right,
I'm going to shut the newspaper down because it is losing money every year.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
And, you know, I guess I could see his point, but I don't know why he bought the damn thing in the first place.
I know, yeah.
So how much can we put you in for?
Put me in for what?
Don't you want to save the Post? We're raising a fund tonight.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, we're up to $40. Come on.
I don't know, 25.
Okay, we're only going to ask for the money if we raise enough to buy the paper. So, you know,
uh-huh,
keep that in mind.
All right.
Okay, we're up to 65. This is great.
How are you going to know who to collect from?
Don't worry about that. They'll call back. The thing is, people are very...
honest is not the word.
No, that's not what I was thinking of. They're, you know, ambitious and people power. This is what got the Philippines for what's her name there. You know, people power. People joining hands and standing up to whatever was in the way.
Yeah.
We've got to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, Eric, I want to ask you, when you went to California, you remember, I think 2-3 weeks ago, you said that you had went to California?
Yeah, I still remember that.
Okay. Besides, like, you know, hanging out on the Hollywood sign,
uh-huh,
did you, like, really go around? You know, like, did you really tour and stuff like that?
Well, I didn't take any tours. I never do, but I did drive all over the place. I put about 5,000 miles on this rent-a-car in California and Mexico, yeah.
In your opinion, is California, do you think it's I don't know how to say it. Do you think that California is, like, a pleasant, atmosphere, like?
It depends where you are, you know, if you're, well, okay, I can tell you.
How about Los Angeles?
I'm sorry?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, I would not say is, I mean, it's interesting. Yes, you walk along Hollywood Boulevard, you see the names on the street, and you take in the whole experience, but it's boring compared to New York. I mean, you know, everybody is pretty much into the show business thing,
right,
which is, you know, I went on the Universal Cities tour,
right,
and they take pride in making something out of what is not there. In other words, making a street scene,
right,
in a studio. And I'm the kind of person that prefers a street scene to be made on a street.
Right.
So Hollywood is kind of an artificial environment. That's a very good one for what they do.
Right.
But it's not something that I think you can retain an interest in for very long.
Okay, right.
Plus, it's always so damn hot there. You know, it was over 100 degrees when I was there, and, you know, I don't know how people survive.
When you went, you weren't only in Los Angeles, you were all over
the place.
Hot all over?
Sorry?
It's hot all over like that?
Well, you know, in San Francisco, the Bay Area, it's a real exception. It's about 30 degrees cooler,
uh-huh,
there. And the weather is weird. It's cloudy on one block. It's sunny on the next block. And then if you go up into the mountains, it's a lot cooler, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, most of California is really hot, and all of California is very dry.
Yeah, right.
It never rains.
Yeah, it really doesn't rain. Yeah.
It's awful. You know, it's depressing. People go out there saying, you know, I like weather that doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do anything. It doesn't change at all.
Yeah. I went a year ago and I liked it, you know, but I'm planning to move out there. And, you know, my sister's saying, you know, come down, you know, you can get a job faster and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I just, you know, I really wanted to know, like the way it is.
It's
not
New York, that much I can tell you.
Right.
But if you like New York and you have to go to California,
right,
you know, try to wind up in the San Francisco area.
And you didn't get your radio stolen. Oh, no, you didn't even take your car.
Take my car, yeah, but... But the car I had, no, they New York City is the only place I've really had cars broken into.
Not on Long Island, right? Not here?
Once or twice on Long Island, but nothing major.
Right. So are you putting a new radio in?
Yeah, eventually I'm going to get around to it. You know, it's just a question of how fast I can move on it.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Plus, I have to take precautions this time.
Yeah.
Figure out, you know, do I get a radio that I have to take out each time? Do I get one of those radios that's impossible to use if you don't know the combination?
A Benji box.
Yeah, one of those, you know.
Yeah, all right. All right, Eric. So, you know, I'm going to keep listening and other people got to say about just anything.
Okay, thanks for your contribution to the Post. All right. We're up to We're up to $65 and our in-studio guest. How much are you putting in for the post here?
$2. $2 is good.
You see, we don't laugh at anybody, even if they do put in a ridiculously small amount, because it's not our nature to do that.
I don't like the post.
That's not the issue here. You see, if you buy the post, you can make it whatever you want, right? We all want the same thing.
However, how are you going to decide, you know, how are we going to figure out who has how much control over what?
Oh, we'll work it out. Come on, we're good at that kind of stuff. I mean, Jim, have we ever had a problem with...
I don't know.
...with people... I mean, come on. No, we're not going to have those kind of problems. Look, we're about to break $100 here to buy the New York Post. We're up to 67. All right. Remember, I mean, we're not going to collect unless we raise enough money to buy it, and I think it's a strong possibility.
Guy is crazy. I can't believe this.
Jim, your microphone is on.
Whoops!
I don't think you want to be saying those kind of things over the air now, do you? Do you? Jim? Jim's in a trance of some sort again.
I can't believe it.
Okay.
I can't believe it. He comes
632.
We won't collect unless we raise enough to buy it. $19 million. He goes on the air today. What's my time?
Are you quite happy, Jim? You made a complete fool of yourself and everybody on the radio.
It's all loose now. What happened? What's going on?
All right, Jim, I'm going to make you very, very low in the background, so there won't be any problem anymore. Our phone number is 632-6901. We're going to read
very,
the news
very
soon.
Low
we've got the tripods coming up at 11 o'clock with the second season of their madness.
Kind of weird fantasy about buying the pose.
I don't know what's going on here.
Try to put me down in the background.
Okay, 632-6901.
Really
good evening.
Well,
how you doing?
Up.
Who are you?
Keith.
How you doing?
No wonder they took his raise.
What's up?
To say about the post,
Yeah?
Well, you can't really expect the paper to last forever. I mean...
Well, I mean, you know when the New York Post was founded? Do you know?
A long time ago.
1801.
Yes.
1801, you know, and... I mean, think what a blast it's going to be, right, at their 200th anniversary in 2001.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, you know, you sound like a fairly young person. You could conceivably make enough connections... To be invited to that bash in 2001. It's only 11 years away. Now, can you imagine the kind of food and stuff they're going to have at that?
Well, I don't really think about that. But.
Think about that, because it's the future, and we have to think about the future. All right? So, you know, by saving the post now, we're ensuring fun times ahead. That's my point. What else is on your mind?
Okay, skateboarding.
Yeah, skateboarding. It was banned in New Paltz, I heard.
That's one of the...
Where?
I don't agree with all that.
I think the campus at New Paltz banned it. That's what I heard.
I don't understand why they banned. Well, the people to sue and stuff because you get hurt.
Because skateboarders are anarchists, right? They're out to overthrow the government. Someone told me that.
I wouldn't say that.
No? Okay, sorry.
Well, I'd like to have this in Greenlawn. I'd like to have a skate park somewhere around here. But
where's around here?
Greenlawn, Huntington, around...
Uh-huh.
General area, but...
Well, what would a skate park have? What would you need for a skate park?
Ramps. Well, you have to have money. The town has to have...
Well, not that so much. It's just what architecturally would it need?
Skateboard ramps.
Right.
Out of wood and...
Sorry?
Made out of... Skateboard ramps that made out of wood.
Uh-huh.
A place for the kids to hang out and get out of trouble. Because we skate around the town and we get kicked out by lots of the people who own the stores and the police.
Uh-huh. They're afraid you're going to trip or something and sue them.
Well, yeah.
Is that what they say?
At a skate park, they have, like, the parents can sign papers so they don't, so to prove that they cannot sue it, they won't sue them, and they'll be safe, and yeah.
That still doesn't work, does it?
Well, I don't know, it seems to be working. There's a skate park in Belmore, and I don't know, it seems to be working.
There is one in Belmore?
Yeah. And...
Do people still go to the Brooklyn Bridge?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, they do.
Brooklyn Bridge is good for that kind of thing,
in fact,
I hear.
There's a contest in Union Square Park sometime, like either today or this week.
Well, anyway, so where would you'd like to see this in the Greenlawn area, I suppose? Or?
Yes. Because it gets annoying after a while, like we run out of places to skate.
Uh-huh. Are there a lot of people that feel as strongly as you?
Yeah, a lot.
Well, what I suggest is you get some sort of a petition together. And, you know, have it submitted somewhere.
Yeah, we thought about that.
In government or local newspapers, that kind of thing. And if they see a couple hundred names on a petition like this, I'm sure they'll at least address the issue. you know, and get media coverage.
Yes.
You gotta do something that'll draw attention, you know, like I don't know, parade around the street on skateboards, you know, a couple hundred people. It would get some attention. They wouldn't be able to stop everybody.
Chain yourself to a lamppost?
Well, I don't know if he wants to chain himself to a lamppost, but I don't know. Let us know what happens, okay?
He should contribute money to buy the New York Post
okay.
Fund.
Okay, no, he's not old enough for that.
And have
thanks for calling.
Post fund.
No, you have to be a certain age to contribute to buying a newspaper. I mean, everybody knows that. Right, Jim?
Yeah, sure, Eric, whatever you say. Listen, was it founded in 1801 A.D. or B.C.?
Doesn't say. It says founded in 1801 by Alexander Hamilton.
Mm.
So, he doesn't sound like one of those Greek guys, so I guess it was probably A.D.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
Is that all you wanted to know? Because I've got the front page here, and I'm looking at it.
No, nah, that's all I wanted to know.
Uh-huh. Well, let me read the story that came from the Post, and then we'll go back to the phones. The Post's fate rides on a union vote this Monday. The Post is alive at least through Monday. Isn't that great? They start off their stories with such short sentences. But owner Peter Calico said he will close the paper immediately if the Post Newspaper Guild union members reject proposed contract cuts in a ratification vote at 6 p.m. Monday. Negotiators would not disclose details of the proposed pact with the guild's 352 white-collar workers, but it was learned that it calls for a four-day work week for 4 days' pay. It sounds kind of reasonable, I guess. I don't know. You know what's weird? Oh, here it is. Okay. No matter how bad it is, the bottom line is, where do you go if you lose another paper, concluded Union Coalition Leader George McDonald. Jim, you've seen quite a few newspapers in your time, haven't you?
Yeah, actually.
You've seen the Long Island Press?
Yeah.
You've seen the Herald Tribune?
Yes.
Well,
World Telegram and Sun, which used to just be the World... The Telegram and the Sun.
You remember the Suffolk Sun?
I remember the Suffolk Sun. It used to be the Journal American, the New York Mirror, of course, Daily News. Also, let me see. Well, from what I could remember, I remember when there were seven New York City newspapers.
Seven?
Yeah, let's see, the Times and the News. And the Post, and then there was, okay, that's three. So there was the Herald Tribune, the Mirror, the Journal American, and the World Telegram and Sun. But, of course, even those, some of those were at one point separate newspapers before then.
That's why they have these weird names.
Yes, yes.
I mean, the Herald Tribune.
I guess probably must have been the Herald and the Tribune, right. Yeah. The World, the Telegram, and the Sun.
How about
the
New
Journal
York,
and the American?
The New York Daily News Post. Huh? Why don't they merge? I mean, both newspapers are doing...
Come.
Both newspapers are losing terror. I believe New York Post lost something like $2.5 million. The Daily News lost like $1 million. Together, they can lose $3.5 million. it makes perfect sense to me. You know?
Of course.
They should do something like that. Because I would hate to see another newspaper go out, because then that only leaves us with what? The Daily News and the New York Times, and if you want to count New York Newsday, which...
Yeah, I think that should be counted. I think that's a legitimate New York City newspaper.
Well, except that we're subsidizing it out here on the island.
Yeah, but it still exists as New York City newspaper.
They charge a quarter in New York for that paper. They charge 35 cents here. Was it 40 cents?
No, it's
35. Oh, that just always gets me upset. 632-6901. Good evening.
Ooh, touchy.
Yeah, that was 1801. A.D.
A.D.
It was
thank
A.D.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks for clearing that up.
No problem.
All right.
I appreciate it.
I guess he was going to say something else. You know, I'm sorry I cut that person off, but I didn't know he was going to say something else. How am I supposed to know? Good evening.
Hi. I'd like to talk about the Post, but first I have a quick question.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm at Stony Brook University, and I'd like to know where you're located.
No. You're not at Stony Brook University, sir. You're at the university at Stony Brook.
The
university is very picky about the way that you define a name. There is no Stony Brook University. It's called the State University of New York at Stony
That's
Brook.
That's why I asked these idiots, and they told me, what do you think you're at?
Now, you want to know where we are?
Yeah.
Well, where we're located physically in the radio station, or where we are in our lives? We're in the Union Building. The second floor of the Student Union Building.
All right.
The weird concrete building in the middle that's sort of collapsing.
Where's the Kelly Quad?
Where's Kelly Quad? Oh, that's...
Yeah.
You know about that little mystery then, huh? Stony Brook is the only university on the eastern coast to lose an entire set of dormitories. Kelly Quad was last seen. Kelly Quad was last seen in the mid-70s, and nobody knows where it went. Kelly Quad was designed by someone who built prisons.
No, I
did you know that?
There.
And later committed suicide, I believe. Or maybe that was the owner of the architect for the Health Science Center. Something like that.
Shouldn't
yes.
Laugh.
Now, are you students here?
Sort of.
Sort of?
Yeah. Well, some of us are and some of us aren't.
I see. Are you a student?
Huh?
Are you a student?
What did you say?
Are you a student?
No.
You're not. Are you glad of that fact?
No.
Well, you know, Stony Brook students have quite a few experiences I'm sure they'd like to tell you about.
Well, it seems like a cool place, you know, but it's pretty coolie, so I'd like to get there.
Uh-huh.
Well, I want to meet Raz, who's on the power surge.
Ah, Raz and the power surge. Yes, well, he'll be on in an hour and 9 minutes.
Yeah.
So you can talk metal with him at that
okay,
time.
So thanks a lot.
All right, have fun, and if you find Kelly Quad, let me know.
All right, Tom Cruise at the Guido called.
All right, whatever that means. 632-6901, that calls are pouring in. Good evening.
Well, my name's Jeff, right?
Yeah.
And I skate, and I just got to agree with that kid that just called up before.
Uh-huh.
Well.
Where do you skate?
Well, I skate in Greenlawn.
Does everybody skate in Greenlawn?
I think I know that kid.
Uh-huh. But, I mean, we got a lot of skaters here in the Three Village area. I haven't heard from them at all, you know. But there seem to be skaters everywhere. And that's, you know, there's skaters in California, there's skaters in Europe. But everywhere they go, they get the same treatment, you know. People are...
And they kick them out. Yeah,
I don't understand why that is. But if you go down the street with roller skates, okay, you look ridiculous. But nobody bothers you. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I know. That's weird.
But it's something about skateboards.
You don't leave little black marks all over walls.
Do skateboards leave little black marks all over walls?
Yeah, when you...
Is that what they get upset about?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's about it.
People don't like to repaint walls.
That's pretty silly.
Well, if you make that Washington Post...
Yeah, how much do you want to put in?
Well, my name's Jeff Trump. I'll put in $18,999,933 if you make that the skateboarding...
Wait, I lost track there. Hold on. $18,999,000... Was it $937, did you say?
$933.
Can you make that $35?
Okay,
35. Well, because I really hate dealing with, like, single dollars, and, you know, if you can do that. I mean, I don't want to put a strain on you.
I know.
935, and is that a flat amount or any change on that?
I think that should cover, like, 1 week of my allowance.
All right, hold on a second. $18,999,000. Okay, I just have to add the $67 we had before that. And we've got, bear with me a second while I figure this out here. Oh, great, I've got to carry all these ones. We got $19,002,000. That's what we got. Okay, well, thanks for your contribution, sir.
Okay, well, you're welcome.
All right.
See you, Eric. Bye.
Bye. All right, this is what I meant. You know, people are putting in what they can afford to put in. Some a little more than others. Some, you know, not much at all. But together, it adds up. We're up to over $19 million. I mean, it's a small step, but it's a step nonetheless.
Very sad case.
Jim, you got some serious kind of problem in that room there.
Yeah, I do. My problem is...
Well, right now, your biggest one is the fact that I've locked the door, and you can just deal with that on your own terms. Okay, let's go back to the telephones. Good morning. Good evening, excuse me.
How are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
That's outrageous. You're collecting money for the Post.
Well, you know, it's just that we hate to see newspapers go out of business. I mean, it says something bad about our society when newspapers go out of business. Don't you think that...
I guess so. Are you a student?
Am I a student? No, I was a student. But I've learned everything I can possibly learn.
What are you going to do with all the money?
Well, I hope you're not implying that I have any kind of plans for it myself. No, I just... obviously, I would watch over it for a while until I found the correct person at the New York Times to give it to. And, you know, there would nothing...
I've got an upset stomach. I'm lunched out, and it's really upset.
You have an upset stomach.
I'm in a delirium. It's outrageous.
Well, that's sad, but
dude, man, it's not
relevant.
Sad. I got to deal with it, you know.
Uh huh.
Maybe have some ginger ale.
Yeah, ginger ale's supposed to be good for that.
Oh, it is enjoyable.
Yeah.
Boy, it's nice. Enjoyable. Hey, dude, I off be running.
Okay, you be doing that, Jim. You're now in this room.
No, I'll be back.
Why are you threatening me?
Because it seemed the thing to do.
Uh huh. Where are you going?
Go out and
get some snacks.
You want to get some snacks?
Get me
one of those brownie kind of things that they have.
Sure.
Wait, are you going down to where there's people or where there's machines?
Oh, I guess I'll have to go down to, I'm not really sure.
If you go to where there's people, definitely get me a brownie. Okay?
Okay.
Because they know how to make them down there.
Oh, I see. Oh, those. Oh, okay. That's right. That place still open. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's there's nothing like a good brownie.
Okay.
I always
brownie.
Say.
And for our listener who's the guest in the studio tonight, would he like something? You sure?
Absolutely sure.
You should have a brownie. Everyone should have brownies. I think. It's sort of like we do what Twin Peaks does with donuts.
Yeah.
I think the New York Post deserves a little phone call.
Why?
The switchboard. Let's see what the people at the switchboard think. Maybe they have some kind of insight that we haven't heard yet.
Maybe. Oh, Leo. What's that? The theme to Twin Peaks is underneath us for some reason.
Never seen the show.
You haven't seen the show?
Never seen it.
Never seen it. Oh, boy. And you know nothing about any of these amazing people here. Look, these cast of characters that comes on the CD here. You got FBI agent Dale Cooper, Sheriff Harry Truman, Shelley Johnson, Bobby Briggs, Benjamin Horn, Donna Hayward, Audrey Horn, Dr. Will Hayward, Norma Jennings, James Hurley, Ed Hurley, Pete Martell, Leland Palmer, Josie Packard, Catherine Martell, Leo Johnson, Deputy Andy Brennan, Deputy Hawk, Madeline Ferguson, Laura Palmer, Dr. Lawrence Jacoby, I'm sorry, Sarah Palmer, Lucy Moran, or Morgan, or something like that. Jerry Horn, Hank Jennings, Albert Rosenfeld, Blackie, Major Briggs, Betty Briggs, the Log Lady, Mike Nelson, Nadine Hurley, Eileen Hayward, Sylvia Horn, One Armed Man, Little Man from Another Place, Killer Bob, Ronette Pulaski, Girls Singer, Johnny Horn, and Diane. Now, is that a strange cast of characters? Look how many people there are in this piece of paper here. It's an amazing amount of people.
Impressed.
I'm real impressed.
Especially by the guy wearing 3D glasses.
And that show is on right now. In fact, it's ending right now. It's pretty funny that this should come up. Maybe there's a relationship to that somehow. Our number is 632-6901. If you want to save the post or tell us who killed Laura Palmer, that's fine, too. I'll be going into the tripods real soon for more of a kind of soap opera saga, I guess. But let's use on the line now. Good evening. It's not coming over the phone, whatever you are trying to do. That's better. Well, that's real impressive. Good evening.
Good evening.
How you doing?
All right. I think Rupert Murdoch killed Laura Palmer.
To get out of owning the New York Post?
That's exactly it.
Because you can't be a murderer and a publisher in the same city.
Right. And especially since... You need to make newspapers out of what?
Paper. And you need a sawmill to make paper.
Ah.
This is very interesting here. It's kind of neat that that we're having this discussion right after the last episode has ended on TV. Of course, people probably are still sitting there in stunned silence and they haven't figured out yet to turn on the radio and talk about it.
Of course, it's a repeat, too.
It's a repeat, right. But, they're selling the diary? They're selling the diary of Laura Palmer in bookstores, and they're also selling a cassette tape of the FBI agent's ramblings. And both of those contain major clues for next year, or next week, actually, 2 weeks.
It doesn't matter.
Sorry?
It doesn't really matter.
Why not? Why do you say such a thing?
I have a feeling that all these clues are useless.
Useless?
Just to get you to watch again. Watch again and... buy whatever products they sell in...
Yeah, but you have to admit Twin Peaks is different than all those other shows.
So why do you like it?
I like it because it's so dreamy, you know?
Ah.
Yeah.
Mmm.
Wait a minute. I can do a better thing than that. It's so dreamy.
Oh, I could just hear the wind blowing by.
Don't you love this music?
I don't hear any music.
Yeah.
Don't you think Twin Peaks is perhaps a plot to get the educated, elite?
You know what's interesting about Twin Peaks? Do you know, and this is something that somebody who lived in that part of the country, which is Washington State, told me, right where they're filming, with the Double R Diner and the waterfall and all that, it's a real place. the location of which was the largest mass murderer or serial killer in the United States history, who they still have not caught. I think they call it the Green River Killer or something like that.
So maybe they're using real clues.
Maybe they are. Maybe David Lynch is the murderer. You know, maybe he's a real murderer and he puts out this TV show because he's completely insane and the whole entire American public has fallen for it.
Maybe not.
Maybe not, but maybe.
I think Rupert Murdoch is the man.
Well, I'm sure Rupert's attorney will be contacting you to discuss that a little further. Oh, yeah, this is incredible. Well, any other theories? Who do you think besides Rupert Murdoch was responsible for this?
He was the Post?
Working alone.
Alexander Hamilton, I believe.
Alexander Hamilton. Okay, all right.
Famous Greek philosopher.
How much can we put you down for the Post, Save the Post Fund?
Oh, I wouldn't give anything for the Post, because, you know, the two biggest lies in New York are the Post will stay in business, and I read the Post.
Yeah, but you love it. You got to admit, right?
Just my canary. You know what I mean?
Canaries, huh?
You know what I mean?
I got a feeling.
Right there under the cage.
Mike, the building manager, is here.
Hey.
Hey, I know him.
Did you kill Laura Palmer?
No, but I was wondering what that thing under my fingernail is for.
What the thing? The letter... What was the letter again? The letter R.
R.
I know why it's there.
I didn't see the last episode yet.
Well...
Double R.
It's not in the last episode. It's not in any episode. But I know why.
Oh.
The letter T was found under Teresa Banks' fingernail, right?
Mm.
Letter R was found under Laura Palmer's. But... Laura was in the train car with Renette Pulaski.
Who's Teresa Banks?
And the killer thought that Laura was Renette and put the R under her fingernail. Seems simple enough to me.
Hmm. I'll see the tape tomorrow.
Yeah, see the tape tomorrow.
Are we going to have another season?
There's another season starting on the 30th.
Wow.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Oh, this is great music. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, you coming home tonight to Mike?
Mike, you're yeah. Your friend here wants to know if you're coming home tonight.
My friend here? I'm not sure. I can't hear him.
Well, of course you can't hear him. There's no way to hear a caller on the...
Well, let me...
I could turn it off like this.
Oh, man.
You get all kinds of feedback. You don't want that.
Yeah, I could do that, too.
But you won't.
Yeah.
He will. Okay. What's the answer to the question? Are you coming home or not?
It depends how tired I am at 1:30 in the morning.
Depends how tired he is at 1:30 in the morning.
Oh. Well, wear a bright tie. That should wake you up.
Yes, wear a bright tie.
No ties on Saturdays. I'm Jewish.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks for coming in and offering your opinion. And thanks, caller, for calling us. And...
Oh, cool. Thank you.
All right.
Babbling. And now I'll shut off the radio.
Yeah, do that. Everyone should shut off the radio after they call up. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
632-6901, and we're going to go into tripods real soon. Let's take one more call, and then we'll do that, I guess. Good evening.
Yo.
Yo.
Forget the Post.
Excuse me?
Forget the Post.
What about the Post?
Forget it.
Why?
It's a lost cause.
What about the Daily News? Is that a lost cause?
The Daily News. Take it or leave it. What about the Village Voice?
That's a weekly paper, though. You know, weekly papers seem to be thriving.
Yeah, I think they're going to come on a daily basis.
Uh-huh. And magazines, they're thriving, too, you know?
Yeah, they're going to run the Post up.
It's kind of sad, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well.
The Post used to be a lot different in the 60s.
True.
A lot different.
But, hey, what can you do?
So you think it's going to go out, huh?
I think so.
Well, so I guess we can't count you in for anything, huh?
Maybe $1, just out of goodwill.
That's good. Thank you very much, sir. That brings us to $19,003,000.
Cool.
All right, thanks again.
Later.
Every little bit counts, folks. Every little bit counts. Tripods coming up real soon. And in case you've never heard of the Tripods, it's the heart-wrenching saga of life in the big suburbs. Radio Free Long Island, in coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, presents The Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle for peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. Today we look in on Howard, who has just arrived in the village of Huntington to look for his wife, Kathy. And as we look in on him, we hear...
Howard, I've got fresh avocados, frozen cantaloupes, special today on green bananas, 59 cents a bunch.
Excuse me, mister.
I've
been looking for my wife. She's about 5'7" with brown hair and turtle green eyes. Did you happen to see her?
Hey, buddy, this is a vegetable stand, not the missing persons bureau. Macintosh apples, 59 cents.
Please help me. I think I'm losing my mind with worry over what might have happened to her.
Would you lose her in a store or something?
It's sort of like that. The only information I have is that she's wandering around somewhere on Long Island.
Ha! She could be anywhere.
Precisely. But over the last few days, I've been everywhere searching for her. And I think I...
Those are fresh turnips you're handling over there, madam. Oh, and it just came in on the boat this morning.
I'll take two.
That's $2.33.
There you are.
Thank you, ma'am. Please come again. I've got homegrown coconuts and cherries. Fresh strawberries, 10 cents each. 2 for a quarter. That'll get them over here. What were you saying before?
Well...
What's your name, anyhow?
Howard Tripine. I live in East Setauket.
Oh, really? I'm Howard Greenbaum. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
Yeah, very good. Very pleased to meet you. I grew up right here in Huntington.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, not really, you know. The town's really going to pot, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, too much traffic, too many unfriendly people, and you know what I mean? It's getting so that it's almost impossible to keep this fresh fruit and vegetable stand here right in the middle of the highway.
That's too bad,
I guess, but we all have to make our sacrifices, though, you know what I mean?
Oh, of course. But listen...
You know, I can really remember when this was just a dirt road.
That's truly astounding, but my wife...
And the entire town went from the beginning of that drugstore over there to just the other side of the same building.
How about that?
And that was it. Believe you me, people were more inclined to buy fresh fruits then and vegetables back then than they are now.
Well, naturally. But I have to... Really,
you know, they were a heck of a lot happier, too. You know, today with all this technology, everybody's miserable. Who needs it?
Excuse me, are these plums fresh?
What? Of course they're fresh. Can't you read this confounded sign, you cretin? Fresh fruits and vegetables. Fresh! Do you understand? Fresh! Would you like me to spell it out for you? Or has it finally penetrated your thick skull? No, can you believe that? He just walked away without saying nary a word to me. Oh, I tell you, some people, they never used to act like that.
Look, Mr. Greenbaum, can we get back to my wife?
What about her?
Well, I still haven't found her, and I've been roaming all over the island for the past 3 days, searching for her. I've been from Bayshore to Greenport, and yes, I even looked in Terryville.
Oh, Terryville. Oh, boy. You get all over the place. You ought to be a limo driver or something.
Well, the point is, I've gone...
Or a taxi driver. That's good.
I've gone everywhere.
Well, maybe you can drive a train.
Mr. Greenbaum, I've gone everywhere on Long Island where she could possibly be. Everywhere except here, that is. And if I don't find her here in Huntington, I honestly think I'm going to start losing my mind.
Well, hold on there. Hold on there. Mr. Tripod, you sound a little bit upset.
Me? Upset? Why should I be upset? I've only missed out on the opportunity to star in a major motion picture by getting lost at sea in a canoe and then getting stranded on a desert island with a couple of people from Guatemala who didn't bother to tell me that it was really Cape May, New Jersey, and not a desert island at all. While my wife is busy leaving me because she thinks I've run off with a famous French actress who I was supposed to co-star with in that major motion picture, which she didn't show up for either for some strange reason. Now my wife is missing somewhere on Long Island. My own father doesn't want to talk to me. And the few friends I have here don't believe me because my story sounds so far-fetched. And you think I'm upset?
Yes, I do. Now, I really don't know what in the world you were just talking about, Mr. Tripod, and I don't really think I ought to know either. But, you know, I think I might be able to help you find your wife.
You can? How?
Well, let me ask you a question, Mr. Tripod. First of all, how would you like to help me run this little fruit and vegetable stand for a while?
Well, thanks for the offer, Mr. Greenbaum, but I don't see how that's going to help find my wife.
Just hold on a minute there. Now, you see what a busy street this is, don't you?
There are a lot of people walking around.
Of course. You know, it's been said that eventually, everybody who lives on Long Island walks down this street and passes by this fruit and vegetable stand.
Who says that?
Well, I do. And it's true, too. In fact, sooner or later, everyone in the world must go by here. So it stands to reason that if you work here long enough, you and your wife will run into one another and you'll be happy for the rest of your lives.
Well,
so how do you like it? Want to join with
that
me?
That does make sense. Well, I think maybe I do stand a shot of seeing Kathy again if I work with you.
Guy!
Well, thank you, Mr. Greenbaum. I think I'll take you up on that offer.
Well, let's shake on it. Good. You're my partner. Until you start yelling, mangoes! Mangoes in season, 39
oranges,
cents a pound.
Oranges, tangerines, pineapples. And so Howard decides to work in a fruit and vegetable store in the middle of Huntington Village to find Kathy. Will he be successful? And how will he do in the trade? Tune in next time when we'll hear Mr. Greenbaum say,
"You're going to go far in this business."
That's next time on The Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka. And a $25,000 reward to anyone who knows what kind of accent Mr. Greenbaum has. Seven, also known as 007, and that came from, why isn't it on the record sleeve? That's weird. Oh, because it's called Shantytown, and they didn't put the 007 part on the record sleeve. That's interesting. Desmond Decker, anyway, Shantytown 007, whatever you want to know it by, here on WUSB. Before that exciting episode of the Tripods, will Howard find Kathy in Huntington Village? It's a heartbreaker if I've ever heard one. And it's Twin Peaks pale by comparison. Tripod's peak next to Twin Peaks, I guess, is what you'd say. What theme shall I put underneath me now? Well, let's pick one at random. How about Dance of the Dream Man, huh? Why doesn't the CD machine work? There it is. Our phone number is 632-6901. We're trying to save the New York Post. But right now, we're trying to read the news. Let's see if we can do it while this theme plays. There are reports Iraq may be loosening its stranglehold on part of Kuwait. Refugees are said to be streaming across the Kuwaiti border into Saudi Arabia at one checkpoint. A Saudi government source says about 1,000 people have crossed into his country. A group of 11 families made it from Kuwait City into Dhahran, site of the U.S. military buildup. They say that Iraqi President Saddam Hussein promised that Kuwaiti cars would be allowed across the border. While they were permitted to pass, the refugees say Iraqi troops stole everything from passports to cassette tapes. The long journey home passed through the Baltimore area for hundreds of stranded Americans. They're not stranded anymore if you're in Baltimore, are they? They arrived today on a chartered jet that left Baghdad yesterday and stopped overnight in London. Are they branded as stranded people for the rest of their lives? About 285 people were on the flight, mostly women and children. Another charter from Iraq is due to land in Baltimore tomorrow. France is calling for stiffer economic sanctions against Iraq in the wake of a raid on a French diplomatic compound. French President Mitterrand has also ordered new forces to the Persian Gulf area, including jets, troops, and tanks. Yesterday, Iraqi troops burst into the residence of the French ambassador in occupied Kuwait. He was in the bathroom at the time. Ooh. South African officials say they're taking iron fist steps to curb vicious black-on-black violence. Black-on-black. B-O-B. Bob. That's it. That's the clue. That's the clue for Twin Peaks and Killer Bob. That's what Bob means. Black-on-black. The whole show is tied into South Africa. Oh, this is amazing. This is it, folks. Okay, I'm going to deal with this after the show. Okay, let's get back to the real world. About 800 people have been killed in the street battles in 5 weeks, but the anti-apartheid African National Congress calls the measures too little, too late. Veterans Affairs Secretary Edward Dewinsky is apologizing for calling Hispanics wetbacks. What is wrong with these people? The cabinet officer says he didn't mean to be disrespectful. He says he's sorry. I don't know what he meant. Dewinsky's remark came during a campaign appearance for a Republican House candidate in Nebraska. Be interesting to talk to that House candidate. Sorry?
What did he do when he called him that?
I don't know.
He's saying, I'd like, you know, this vote, you know, the Catholic vote, the Jewish vote, and the wetback vote.
I'm not sure. Somebody can put that into context for us. Maybe he said it's wrong to call Hispanics wetbacks, and that's what did it.
Maybe he's.
But I somehow I doubt it.
He doesn't like them.
I don't know. One union leader predicts a settlement in the auto talks this weekend. Excuse me. Late yesterday, bargainers from General Motors and the United Auto Workers decided to set aside a midnight contract deadline and continue negotiations. But in Canada, auto workers are on strike against Ford after talks broke off early today. We've got more news, but the theme has run out, and Jim is here with the. What do you got for us here? We got candy bars and soda and the change. I got change. Oh boy, lots of change. This is incredible. I can play pinball or something. Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you. Hikers are being warned to stay off the celebrated Appalachian Trail in Pennsylvania. Authorities continue the search for clues in the killings of two hikers earlier this week. A spokesman for the Appalachian Trail Conference says, although murders are rare, I almost said hikers, although murders are rare, precautions are in order. The Maine to Georgia hiking trail snakes through 230 miles of Pennsylvania, and that's where the murders occurred. Well, in about an hour, some lucky person may join the ranks of the rich and famous. Florida's $100 million lottery drawing is tonight. Lottery officials say it's likely the huge jackpot will be split eight ways. However, there could be a single winner or no winner at all. In that case, lotto fever continues until next weekend as the jackpot builds. In fact, the drawing just took place at 10:58 p.m. 10:58 p.m., so it's all over, folks. Did you buy Florida lottery tickets?
No, but we should have used the money that we got to save the post to buy tickets. That way we would have actually had enough money.
But why didn't somebody think of it? Well, but then again, we can't buy them over the phone without having the money in our hands. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. It'd be nice if you could.
Could be a way.
Can you charge lottery tickets to credit cards? Does anybody know?
I don't know. Probably not.
Where'd Jim go? Jim would know these things. 632-6901 is our telephone number, and that's the news. That's what's happening in the world, according to the Associated Press. Weather is 19 degrees Celsius, and that's 66 in the Fahrenheit scale. Tonight's going to be mostly clear, less humid, lows 55 to 60. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness with a 30% chance of a shower or a thunderstorm, high 70 to 75. We had a great thunderstorm this morning at about 6 o'clock. Oh, it's incredible. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of light showers in the evening or
then partly cloudy and breezy. That's it. Lows in the low to mid 50s. Having trouble with some characters here. And again, the temperature is 19 Celsius, 66 on the Fahrenheit scale. And as we mentioned before, the great spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama, is actually coming to Stony Brook on Monday. Seems incredible. I couldn't believe it when I first heard it. And WUSB will be broadcasting it live. But rather than me tell you...
By way of explaining what we're about to do, I am first going to tell you a little bit about the country called Tibet. An extremely spiritual country. For centuries, the leader of Tibet has been known as the Dalai Lama. In 1950, Communist China invaded Tibet, and while leaving the Dalai Lama nominally in charge, they in fact seized control of the entire country. In 1959, after a Tibetan uprising against the Chinese, the Dalai Lama was forced to flee to India for his life and has lived in exile ever since. Following a dream I had 3 years ago, I have become deeply moved by the plight of the Tibetan people and filled with a desire to help them.
No matter what kind of dreams you have, it's a reality that the Dalai Lama is one of the world's most important spiritual leaders. He's also an author, humanitarian, statesman, and winner of the 1989 Nobel Peace Prize. And he's coming to Stony Brook this Monday. Tune in to WUSB Monday afternoon at 4 for live coverage. That's the Dalai Lama live from Stony Brook, Monday afternoon at 4 on Long Island's first station of the 90s, WUSB. Give me a donut. Or a brownie. A donut or a brownie is fine. Dalai Lama appearing here at Stony Brook 4 o'clock on Monday. And I believe it's going to be a star-studded event. Our university president will be here welcoming him. In fact, the university president had a song all ready to sing, which is a very unusual thing for university presidents to actually sing. What's all that waving? We have an advanced copy of the song. Okay. I didn't know what that meant. And this is the university president singing it. Okay, well, the Dalai Lama will be welcomed on Monday by the university president, who will sing this song.
Hello, Dalai. Well, hello, Dalai. It's so nice to have you here where you belong.
He's got a great voice, isn't he?
I never knew, Dalai. Without you, Dalai, life was awfully flat, and more than that, was awfully wrong.
Stony Brook Varsity Orchestra.
Here's my hat, Horace. I'm staying where I'm at, Horace. Dolly, I'll never go away.
One wonderful woman again.
That was the chief of financial affairs. This is the entire university board of trustees.
Around and around.
Oh, that's great stuff. That is great. And the university chorus joining in there at the end with the Board of Trustees, university president, and financial aid head, chief, whatever they call her. That's great. And that's the welcoming song for the Dalai Lama on Monday. Be here on campus for that. It's great the way we mix cultures at this place. I think it's just incredible. That's how it's all about. That's what a setting such as this brings out in people. Well, speaking of bringing things out into the open, time for a New York Post update. Our telephone number again, 632-6901. If you have ideas to save the Post or anything else on your mind, give us a call. Financially bloody but still breathing, the nation's oldest continuously published daily newspaper emerged from its own death watch with the headline, "Ain't Over Yet." That's right, on Friday, reporters and their families milled around the newsroom with somber expressions. Others pulled beers from carts that normally hold newspaper copy, packed up their desks, and worked on their resumes. A cheer went up as the staff learned from a television news conference at 11:30 p.m. that a night of negotiations had led to 10 of the Post's 11 unions accepting $19 million in concessions. $19 million! That's what we raised! Wow, we raised $19 million and $3, and that's what they've accepted so far. We can negate all of that. We can negate all those concessions. This is incredible, folks. This is like karma working here. The 189-year-old tabloid's ultimate fate rests with the newspaper guild. Its 352 white-collar workers must vote tomorrow night whether to accept a four-day work week for 4 days' pay and the elimination of 43 jobs. Owner Peter Calico says he will close the paper immediately if guild members vote no. It's a bit of pressure on them, I would say. The paper with a circulation of 505,000 is losing $27 million a year. The Post said in Saturday's editions that the concessions from its 960 employees include the drivers' union being asked to give up 100 of 263 jobs, the 70 printers cutting their work week to 4 days, and the 17 paper handlers giving up 5 jobs. The paper will publish Monday in any case. We have one more day of the Post, folks. One more day. Money troubles are not new to the Post. Even its founder had them. Alexander Hamilton was heavily in debt in 1801 when he convinced a group of merchants to finance the paper. We should dig up those transcripts. It'd be interesting today. His was merely the first of many famous names to be associated with the paper. In the 1820s, New England poet William Cullen Bryant began a 50-year tenure as Post editor. Poet Walt Whitman covered the Civil War for the Post. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was briefly a co-owner in the 1920s. Heiress Dorothy Schiff bought the Post in 1939 and tried to attract more readers with comics, features, a tabloid format, strong sports stories, and nearly 50 columnists. Yes, and editorial writers at the Daily News boiled down their message for the New York Post to simple tabloid talk in Sunday's editions. News to Post. Hope you make it. Isn't that sweet? The news said it would be good news for the city and a democratic society if the Post continues to publish past Monday. The Post's fate rests with the newspaper guild, whose members must vote tomorrow night whether to accept a 20% pay cut and the elimination of 43 jobs. If the union rejects the concessions designed to help save the money-losing tabloid $19 million, the Post publisher, Peter Calico, will close the paper. The editorial said that the Post, Daily News, and other newspapers in the metropolitan area may be rivals in gathering news, selling ads, and hawking papers, but the rough and tumble is healthy for all papers. It keeps everyone on his or her toes. That's spoken like a true newspaper editor there. Okay, that's the story with the Post. 632-6901, that's our phone number. Give us a call, and let's see who's on the line. I noticed that we're not getting as many calls, and I can tell you why that is, folks. At 11 o'clock, everybody calls into the campus at once because the rates go down, except it's stupid because Saturday the rates are down all day long. I don't know why people do this. And because everyone's calling in at once, sometimes you can't get a line, and you get a busy signal. We're not busy right now, folks. We're not busy. We've got open lines, but it's possible you might not be able to get through, and we apologize for that. If you're on campus, you won't have any trouble. So give us a call, 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening.
Yeah, Eric.
Yo.
So what, you think you're going to save the Post or what?
Well, you know, I'd like to be able to say that I did, you know? Don't you think it would be nice thing to carry with me for the rest of my life saying, yeah, you know, I happened to save the Post.
Yeah, but how do you think you're going to do it?
Well, hopefully with your help and the help of other people out there. You know, I've already raised $19,003,000, which is great. That's $3 more than the Post needs to save. So the rest is pure profit.
You're just going to give it to them?
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't you?
No.
What would you do?
Well, actually, is it really your business, or...
Well, no, but I intend to make it my business.
Yeah, that's okay.
Is that okay?
Well, you think these people are going to pay the $19 million?
Well, listen, let me tell you something about WUSB listeners, okay? When they say they're going to do something, they do it. We're not like regular radio station listeners here. These are special people. And somebody says they're going to donate $19,003,000, they're going to do that, and more.
Cool. You think that person that called up is really going to pay $19 million?
Well, of course. I mean, I don't think it's right of you to besmirch his character by implying that he won't. You know?
Is it like your dream to save the Post, or...
Well, it's not my dream, it's my mission. I mean, once I had a dream, but now it's a mission. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah.
You sound skeptical, you know, that's what concerns me, because...
No, it's good of you to do that.
I mean, I want to hear joy in people's voices. Yes, we're all going to save this thing together. I just don't hear that here.
Oh, when you want the Post to go on forever?
Wouldn't it be nice if the Post did go on? I mean, it was around since 1801. I mean, you know, why not? Yeah, keep it going forever. Imagine reading the Post 1,000 years from now. What do you think will be the headline?
No.
You don't think of things like that, you know? You got to think of things like that. Okay, well, you keep thinking. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
632-6901. I think we made an impression upon that person, and that's what it's all about, folks. It's about convincing other people to give up whatever it is that they've been dreaming about and hoping to do with their lives, and convincing them that what you want to do is more important. You know? That's what America is all about. 632-6901. Good evening.
Bobo.
Sorry?
A bobo.
I don't understand what that means, but you have a hum on your line. Do you know that?
A bobo.
Daddy-o. Yeah?
Timor?
I want to hear from Jim. Where's Jim? Where did Jim go? Did he get offended by what I called him before? I call a lot of people
offended.
That.
Offended?
No, I call lots of people that, Jim. Oh, it's a compliment for you. I might have known. Okay, well, Jim is coming back into the other studio now. Is he there yet? Oh, no, he's in this studio. Wait, I just saw that door open.
Actually, somebody's working in there. So
someone else is in there.
Studio.
Where are you going to be? Conference. Why, no one's been in conference in ages. Well, let's open up the cobweb-covered microphone cables here and see if we can actually get a line to the old... deserted conference studio. Oh, this is an evil place. There's a certain evil in that conference room. Let's see if Jim's voice will come through here. Uh-oh. I'm hearing my voice in echo. That's not supposed to be happening. Hello, hello. Testing, testing. That's very interesting, but I don't know why it's happening. Ah, that's better. Let's do this. Jim, are you in there? Oh, my God. We don't have Jim. We've lost Jim. 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 Where are you, Jim? Talk to me, Jim. Say something. Let me hear your voice. I can see your mouth moving, but I hear no voice coming from it. Could it be because all these knobs are on zero? Yes, that could be it. Jim, where are you going? He left. Just when I figured out how it works, he left. Isn't that always the way? I think I hear the phone ringing in there. Jim, say something, for God's sake.
Hello.
That's better.
Hello.
You going to play a tune for us in there?
Yes, this is the love theme from Brain Damage.
I don't know why you're playing that. There's not a whole lot of love in this place right now.
Brain damage.
Oh, wait. Whoa. Yeah. You're all out of
sorry.
Levels here.
Sorry. I was just trying to sing the love theme from Brain Damage.
Just count up to 10, okay? And that.
Sure.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Joe. I always ask you to do that. I'm sorry, I keep forgetting. It's okay. We'll count for you.
Thanks.
632-6901, area code 516. That's our phone number. And try to be careful in there. Let's get some more calls. Where is everyone? Such a sad night.
I've gone to Florida for the lottery.
Sad, haunting night, you know?
Yes.
Ooh. You know, this candy bar you got me is melted.
Oh, really? Which one?
The Snickers bar.
Yeah?
Can I say that over the air?
Yeah, it's not really a reflection badly against Snickers. It's just that I guess it's kind of warm in here, so it melted. I think it's a good candy bar.
I didn't win the instant win contest.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you already have the peanut butter cups?
No, they're still here. I always save those for last.
Ah.
Yeah.
Which way do you eat them?
Oh, I saw that stupid commercial, too.
Oh.
Where you nibble around the edges or something crazy like
something
that?
Something like that,
yeah. Nobody has probably ever done, but now that they've done this on TV, everyone's going to say, oh, yeah, I always did that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to fall for it, folks.
But
no
see,
way.
But I think it's a clever commercial because it does really make you think about the product.
I wasn't thinking about the product. I turned the TV off and I saw that.
Oh. But I don't turn the TV off and then you saw it?
No,
when you
saw
it, you turned the TV
I walked up and turned the TV off and I was so disgusted. Have you seen Twin Peaks?
Actually, no, I haven't.
What is it? No one in the studio has seen Twin Peaks? What's wrong with you?
I saw a very brief part of one of the episodes. I've been working in the evening, so mm-hmm. I don't get to see it.
You've never heard of VCRs, Jim?
I have heard of them, but I don't have one. I guess one day I'll get one, but I just don't have one.
It's too late. The show's over.
I know.
You've missed it.
I know. They haven't renewed it, huh?
No, it's going to be on again in 2 weeks, but if you haven't seen the first season,
you won't understand.
They're saying
what
don't bother tuning in.
Are you telling me that the American Broadcasting Company is telling potential viewers
not only
if
are
you
they
didn't see the first season, don't watch the next season?
Not only are they telling you that, but they're giving you suggested shows to watch instead on the other networks.
Really?
Yes.
You're lying, Eric. You're lying.
If I wasn't on the logs right now and had to stay in this room, I would go in there and argue with you.
Really?
Yes.
Why don't you argue with me right now? You can argue with me.
Because I can only argue with somebody in the same room.
No, you can argue with me right now.
No, I'm no good at it.
You can see me.
I'm no good at electronic arguing.
You can hear me.
No, I'm good at...
This is not electronic arguing.
Yes, it is. How do you think my voice is getting into your head?
You want to see what electronic arguing is?
What?
Electronic arguing is... Oh, yeah? Well, I say that fuse should be a slow blow. 5 amps. Not a standard 5 amps. Oh, yeah? Well, I say it should be a standard 5 amps. Not a slow blow 5 amps. See, that's electronic arguing.
Speaking of slow blows, Jim.
Yeah?
We'll get back to you in a little bit. Let's take a phone call at
632-6901. Brain damage.
Well, what's the phase of the moon? Does anybody know? His calendar here doesn't have it. And Joel Block doesn't ever mention it.
No.
Remember he used to talk about actual things that were up in the sky? You know,
what did he talk about now?
Theory.
Well, that can be interesting also.
I don't know. It's not the same thing. Let's take some calls. Folks, wake up out there. 632-6901. What are you doing? Preparing to go to war? What's up with your lives? Tell us. Back to school? What? You know, we care. We're here. I'm not being sarcastic. I know I sound sarcastic when I say that, but we do care. You know, we had some people call up about skateboards before, and it was... you know, it's a potent issue here, but there's other issues too. And this stupid theme is driving me crazy. That's the end of it. Good evening.
Hello.
Go ahead.
These Star Trek viewers are called Trekkies. Are Twin Peaks viewers called Peakies?
I think they're called Peakers, actually. But that's an interesting point.
I'm not a Peaker, but. You did mention a couple of the names you mentioned a while back from the show that did strike a familiar chord.
Uh-huh.
Bobby Riggs, an old near-dead tennis player?
No, that's Bobby... who is that? Wait a minute. I remember he played Billie Jean King. Bobby Riggs, right?
That's right.
Right, but Bobby Briggs is the name of the character here.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's close.
His early, wasn't he the voice of Velveeta Cheese?
Gee, I don't know about that kind of stuff.
You
know what I can't figure out, though? On this CD that I have here, they have all the characters listed by number, 1 through 40. And I have no idea why they listed them in this order. It's not alphabetical. It's not in the order they appear. I don't know what the order is. It's pretty crazy.
Maybe it's another clue.
I think it might be, but I don't know what it is.
Very well be.
Yeah, there's all kinds of clues in the show. I've heard
many clues that probably many other people have not heard, and I'm sure there's other clues I've never heard.
Well, I've been a long-time listener of yours, but a first-time caller.
Oh, really? You mean there's people lurking? You're a lurker is what you are.
Yes, I've heard you on that other station.
That other station. Okay, well, there are other stations out there.
Where you dabble sometimes.
I babble without stopping sometimes. It's embarrassing, yes.
Under assumed names.
Well, you have to assume names occasionally. You have to assume many things.
Well,
where are you calling from?
Where am I calling from?
Yeah.
In front of a major cheap stores.
A what?
in front of a major chain of cheap stores.
Oh, I see. Like Cheap Franks or something.
No, something like that.
Something like that. Uh-huh.
I don't want to give any credit to anybody in particular.
Well, I didn't mean what were you standing in front of. I meant what general town are you calling from?
Patchogue.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. What else is on your mind tonight, eh?
By accident, I recognized the voice from that other station, as I said, so usually just do more often than this one, but...
Well, my voice gets around, you know.
If that's all, then you're pretty safe.
I heard my voice when I was in California, in fact.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I was listening to a tape of one of my shows.
Oh, I thought it was Skyway Skip or something.
No, it wasn't anything like that, but it was pretty frightening.
Of Joel Block.
Because I thought I was listening to the radio and I was listening to a tape.
Okay, well...
That was a fascinating story, I know.
I wanted to find out what they call peekers.
Uh-huh.
Now I know.
Who do you think killed Laura Palmer?
I have no idea. I'm not a peeker.
Well, you don't have to be a peeker to know who the killer is.
I agree with that caller earlier. It may have been Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch. Oh, boy. Okay, well, we're getting real far here tonight, folks. Are you going to contribute anything to the New York Post?
As far as the New York Post is concerned, one less homophobic newspaper in New York City is fine by me.
No, but you see, if you get rid of all the crazy opposition, then, you know, what? You don't have anything. You don't have any interesting dialogue.
No, we still have the major television stations to deal with.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you got to eliminate them, too?
The radio? No. More people watch TV than... read newspapers.
New York Post is a staple of New York City. You can't have New York City without the New York Post. You just can't.
Maybe they should go back to exclusive syndicated comics or something like that. That might pump up readership.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know why newspapers are failing left and right, though. They should be succeeding. People should be... I mean, everybody I know reads newspapers, right?
I want to ask if anyone out there remembers the little index tab they used to have in Newsday.
Oh, yeah.
I remember those. Whenever. That's right. They took those out, didn't they?
Yes, ostensibly in paper.
I never could figure out how those worked.
That was, they used to divide the part two section.
Now, how do people find part two now? Because I always find it pretty easily.
I don't know.
There's some kind of scientific formula now.
I guess we're showing our age here by telling people about that.
Well, I remember when Newsday didn't have a blue cover.
Right.
It was black and white.
But the Suffolk Sun used to have a color front page.
Yes.
That's right, it was red, wasn't it?
Like multicolored.
No, gold. The sun was gold.
Gold, yeah.
How did they do that so long ago in the 1960s?
They always had a color picture on the front page.
Well, that's what put them out of business, I guess.
Comics were in color every day.
The comics were in color every day?
Right.
But the comics don't come in color, do they?
Well, they used to color them. I don't know what. I guess they just arbitrarily assigned colors.
That's interesting.
They were ahead of Ted Turner.
Yeah,
wow. So the Suffolk Sun, the secrets come out.
Okay, so there's my comments on speakers and... The Post.
Thanks for calling, sir.
Post as it goes.
Oh, yes, hopefully that will become a reality. Thanks again.
Okay.
632-6901.
You know, Eric, you called the New York Post a staple of the city. Some people might think it's more like a paper clip of the scene, passing scene, as it were.
I'll leave your microphone on now so you can expand upon that, Jim.
You will? You're kidding me. Eric, my gosh. You think I make these ridiculously dumb comments, anticipating you're going to actually let me enlarge upon them? I have to hand it to you. You've really surprised me this time. I mean, I make comments like that, and I'm I kind of think of myself as the Jerry Hubbard to your Barth Gimbel.
Hello, this is the phone mail system. If you are calling from your own extension, push enter or pound. If not, you may either enter your extension or your name. To enter an extension, dial the extension and then push enter or pound. To enter your name, dial your last name followed by first name until recognized.
That's a very apt comment, I'd say.
If you are calling from your own extension, push enter or pound. If not, you may either enter your extension or your name. To enter an extension, dial the extension and then push enter or pound. To enter your name, dial your last name followed by first name until recognized.
You know, what fascinates me about these particular phone company employees is how they sit there day in and day out and they can always
make... If you are calling from your own extension, push enter or pound. If not, you may either enter your extension or your name. To enter an extension, dial the extension and then push enter or pound. To enter your name, dial your last name followed by first name until recognized.
They can always make what they say sound so consistent. How do you think they do that?
If you are entering a name, push stop or star. When you have finished dialing an extension, push enter or pound. If you do not push a key in 5 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Oh.
Gee. Well, he's gone. He's disconnected. That's really sad to see right in front of your eyes like that, but Jim has been disconnected because he did not press a... Why didn't he press a key? He has all these keys in front of him. Could have pressed some of my keys, too. Oh, well. Good evening.
Well, I'm Melvin, and I was just calling from Harvard University.
Harvard University?
Yeah, well, it's pretty easy when you have a satellite dish on top of your dormitory.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah, I keep forgetting we're in the 1990s.
Yeah, okay. Well, Jeff Trump is my roommate. I'll get him for you.
Okay.
Jeff! Stupid nerd. Well, I just wanted to say that kid that called up before that said I wouldn't pledge my $19 million.
Yeah.
He was wrong. Very wrong to say that.
I tried to tell him that.
Yeah, well, that shows how much people know down in New York and Long Island.
Well, we took the liberty of writing down his phone number because we do have caller ID here. And we took down his phone number. We've already pulled his credit report and everything else about him. And we'll be forwarding that over to you. Is that okay?
Could you just tell me over the phone?
Well, I could tell you over the phone, but then I'd be telling you over the radio, too. And that's a violation of, is it the Coast Guard? Some legal authority.
Well, okay.
But we're faxing it to you now.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Welcome to the 90s, folks. That's Jim has been reconnected. Jim, how are you?
Just fine, Eric. Just fine. How are you?
you seem to be out of speed there, Jim.
What?
Come back down to earth, please.
Out of speed.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's take another call, and let's try not to offend the phone mail lady. Good evening.
Yeah, Eric?
Yeah.
So I heard you got your insurance for the car.
I did. Yes, I did.
That's great.
It's incredible. It's not supposed to happen this fast, but it happened right there on the spot.
But about that, the tape they took.
Yeah, the tape of a show that we did here 2 weeks ago.
Was that the only copy you had?
Yeah, I only make one copy at a time. You know, how can I make more than one copy at once?
Can't you just take one with you and leave one at the studio or something?
Yeah, but when am I going to make two? You see, there's got to be a point there where I duplicate it. You see?
Make a copy on it.
Well, I only had it for a couple of days. You know, even if I had made a copy of it, it would have taken me a couple of days to make the copy, so they still would have gotten it before I made the copy.
Maybe someone.
But I don't make copies, because I don't have time to make copies.
So it's just, missing from your collection now?
Yeah, it's a...
And when you're missing?
It's a hole. It's a hole in my collection that will follow me around for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, don't you think?
Uh-huh.
Kind of funny, too, but mostly sad.
Can I talk to Jim, or is he on another line or something?
Well, Jim is right here with us in the other studio. You have to listen to your radio in order to hear him, but he can hear you.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
What's going on?
Is your last name really Wiener?
Yes, it really is.
We've got the license here to prove it. Yes.
Why do you ask?
I'm just wondering.
But he spells Wiener differently than most people spell Wiener, don't you? Don't most people spell Wiener the other way?
What kind of Wiener you're talking about?
No.
Most people in the United States
who pronounced the name Wiener, spell it W-E-I-N-E-R. I spell it W-I-E-N-E-R.
Did you know that?
And most people in the United States who pronounce the name Weiner spell it W-E-I-N-E-R.
So, now, you say you spell Wiener differently than other people spell Wiener. Now,
except
why...
you're talking about Europe.
Why
in Europe,
do
people
you...
spell it the way I spell it.
So, are you implying that you're a European?
Well, that my family decided to retain the European spelling for the...
There's something wrong with America.
Not at all.
Well, is there a reason why you're spelling it European when you're in America?
They moved. I guess they just prefer to keep it that way. It means literally
from Vienna. Well, wouldn't they prefer to stay in Europe, perhaps? I mean, why come here with a European spelling of the damn name when you don't accept the American spelling?
No, they didn't prefer to stay in Europe. They pretty much...
I mean, if it's a free country, you're free to do whatever the hell you want. But if it offends me, I'm going to ask you...
I'm sorry.
...to take it elsewhere.
You guys argue too much.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
He's like total opposite of you. That's right.
Well, he's sitting opposite me now in another studio behind bulletproof glass for his
personality.
Own
personality.
I guess it's an appropriate question to ask where we were for the last 10 minutes or so.
WUSB Stony Brook.
Well, now, we weren't actually...
I was saying WUSB Stony Brook.
Okay, but for some reason a strange button was hit, and that means we were off the air, right? We're not on the air.
For all practical purposes, we were off the air, yeah.
Were people hearing static? Because we don't know what people were hearing.
No, they were hearing pretty much silence because the transmitter was still working. When the transmitter is working, but there's no audio reaching it, which is what had happened, you hear silence. If the transmitter goes off the air altogether, we lose that, then you hear the static.
So we just heard silence, and I guess listeners shared in that silence, right?
They did, yes.
We got more calls while we were off the air than when we were on the air.
Well, I think people...
More compliments, too.
Well, I think the reason why was that people thought that that was not a question of an audio failure. They thought that we were playing an extremely minimalist piece of music.
Which we were at the time.
In a way,
of, but,
yeah.
With minimalist thought involved.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that sort of catapults us to the end of our show here. And I guess I never... got to make the exciting announcement that I was hoping to make, waiting my entire life to make here. We'll just have to wait till next week.
I guess so.
And you won't be here.
No, but that's all right.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for being here, Jim.
Thank you very much.
It's always something special. Makes the next 2 weeks seem all the more special when you're not here. And look forward to doing it again real soon.
I guess it's kind of like when I do too, but I guess it's kind of like when somebody hits you on the head constantly and you tell them to stop and they finally stop. And
are they
just the absence of it makes
again?
You enjoy it.
They're doing that again too?
Yeah, yeah.
Your head looked a little indented.
Yeah.
Well, the program is Brain Damage. I guess that's a good way to end it. I'll be back again next week. Stay tuned for Raz and Power Surge. And hopefully... No major power surges like the one we just experienced, right?
Never know.
We'll see.
Position of ascendancy over others. Surge, to rise and fall actively. Power, physical might, mental or moral vigor. Surge, a sweeping onward like a wave of the sea or a motion. Power, force or energy used to do work, the time rate at which work is done. Surge, a transient, sudden increase of current in an electrical circuit. Power surge.
Caution.